1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. This news is interesting. There's two Memphis churches that have been awarded a $12,000 federal grant to promote seatbelt use among blacks in a pilot project that could lead to similar grants on a national level. The United States Department of Transportation is providing the money to the Congress of National Black Churches, which has 65,000 members nationwide. Now, why? Well, a recent study conducted by Meharry Medical College in Nashville, Tennessee, showed black children are 50% less likely to be buckled up than our white or Hispanic kids. 50% less likely. It also shows that 80% of black children have been found to be improperly restrained when observed at safety checkpoints manned by police in Memphis, Chicago, Washington, and other cities. So in order to educate black families as to the importance of buckling their children up when it comes to seatbelts, the government is awarding grants, federal grants, to churches where this kind of education could possibly take place. On the line with me is Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. Although you have not yet been approached by the federal government, Pastor Renick?
We're not yet in having discussion with the federal government on any grant, but I would tell you, as I said earlier to you, that I would have very serious reservations about...
Well, there's a... Like I said, you heard the number, 50%. Black children are 50% less likely to be in seatbelts, properly restrained.
That is the statistic that I heard. But the statistic that you haven't heard and the information you have not got, the reasons behind these things are multi-level and are not so easily understood. You have got...
Well, help me understand them.
You've got millions of African Americans who do not necessarily want to restrain a child in a seatbelt for cultural or racial reasons that perhaps the government's not going to understand.
Well, like I said, help me understand this.
Well, but first of all, my people have a history of being restrained. You know, we have a...
You're talking about being restrained with a seatbelt.
We've got a history of being restrained. And first of all, white people who are generally driving the other car when a black child is injured, now you can drive more carefully if you want to. And we'll put our trust in God. But it is an unnatural thing for a black man or woman to want to wear a seatbelt, Phil, and all of this.
Yeah, but you're talking about safety here, okay? And you're talking about...
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying that wearing a seatbelt is necessarily wrong. I'm saying it's difficult for a person of color to put a seatbelt on.
Because of the restraint of slavery and the restraint of... You're saying it goes back? In other words, there's some kind of a... visceral reaction?
There is what is called a sensory memory or a racial memory. So that when even a black child wears a seatbelt, something is triggered in the subconscious that reminds them of the slave state and the state of mind of the slave.
Well, what about you? Do you wear a seatbelt?
I do. It's very difficult for me. It is.
You wear a seatbelt even though it's what happens?
Well, I begin to... The hands begin to sweat, and you begin to perspire, your heart beats a little faster. You want to get out. You want to feel like you got to get out. You know, so that these are the things.
All right, look, the study says that 50% of black kids are not, or they're 50% less likely. It also said that 80% of black children were found to be improperly restrained when observed at a...
Well, there you go with that word again, restrained. You see what I'm saying?
Well, all right, belted in, is that...
That's not even good. You are dealing with words. And when you're dealing with the African-American community, you're dealing with black people, you have got to speak. And you have got to make yourself understood in a way that speaks to our experience. And this is Black History Month. And so we go back into our history. And the last time a white man told me to wear a belt, put on any restraint. That was the overseer speaking.
All right. Well,
that was the overseer speaking. See what I'm saying? That was the man who was a slave trader.
All right. I understand that, Reverend, but we're talking about the safety of children here, right?
We put our trust in God.
Well, you, yeah, I mean,
we put our trust in God Almighty, and I will tell you that the Bible tells us that
but Reverend,
the Bible tells us that every number, every hair on your head is numbered.
All right.
Look at the lilies of the field.
But
they neither toil nor sweat, but the Lord provides for them.
All right, but Reverend,
and I will tell you, every hair on your head is numbered.
Okay, look, preaching aside,
there's no preaching aside. I am trying to get you to understand, black people don't wear seatbelts. And the only way you're going to get, first of all, they want to give me federal grant money to try to get black folks to wear seatbelts. I need that money up front. I don't want it on the back end.
Well, you're saying if you want money from the federal government to talk to black folks into wearing seatbelts, you're saying that they shouldn't be wearing seatbelts.
I think everything can be overcome. I think you can work it out. I think that you can. I do faith healing, and I can bring the power of God into the lives of young black people, but I need the money up front. But let me say, putting a seatbelt on a black child or any black person only reminds them of the overseer's whip and lash, and it's going to take a hell of a lot of federal money to get that memory out. You see what I'm saying?
All right, well, you would try it with the right amount of federal money.
I'll give it a try. But black people don't wear seatbelts. No. That don't happen. The reason it doesn't happen, Phil, is because the very idea of restraint is hateful to all African Americans.
Right, can you hold on for a minute?
I certainly will.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Whew. I
preach it, aren't I?
You do it, Reverend. You do it all the time.
Because I feel so passionately about the things you ask me about, and because I care so very much for my congregation. You know,
I got that. I just, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Pastor William Rennick from Joyful Union Congregation. Look, the federal government is seeing a need for black children to have themselves wearing seatbelts. They're seeing a need somewhere that African American families are not as likely to use a seatbelt with their children as a white or a Hispanic family. Okay? There must be children being injured out there. I don't know.
I don't think that's necessarily the case, Phil. I think that's a safety checkpoint someplace.
All right, so you're just saying that officers are observing this and it's not necessarily there's any harm that's come to the child?
I don't think that's the case. That is not what they're saying. They're simply saying the child is improperly restrained. But you've got to understand something. When you say restrained to a black man, now you're on the fighting side of me. And the hand of God is the best safety belt I ever made. I will tell you this much, Phil.
Look, trusting God is fine, okay? Are we talking?
You listen to me. The hand of God is the best safety belt. My people have been in bondage long enough, and I will tell you this, and this is the truth. There ain't no safety belt in the world going to keep you out of heaven once the Lord calls you home.
Pastor, I don't.
No safety belt in the world going to keep you out of heaven once the Lord calls you home.
Reverend, I got that, okay? And I don't even, if God wants me, he's got me. But if it's just some guy in a car, you know.
Guy in a car running a red light.
Guy in a car running a red light, yeah.
All right, I understand that. But I'm just telling you, it's a tough thing for a black man to put a safety belt on. It's a hell of a thing to ask a black man, a black woman to put a safety belt on their child.
All right, even if it could save their life.
I'll tell you again, Phil, I mean this. We put our trust in God. Going to save no life. You want me to save a life? I want to see that federal money up front. Not loaded on the back end. Then we'll talk about that.
Right. If I'm understanding you correctly,
yeah.
You're saying you don't believe that black folks are going to want to wear safety belts because it's hateful to the very idea. It's a restraining thing. However, if they give you the federal money up front, you might be able to talk them into it.
I do faith healing if it is a psychological woe or a pain of the soul. There's something I can do.
All right, 1-800, hold on, Reverend, 1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Henry Show number. This guy, Reverend Rennick, doesn't want to talk black folks into wearing seatbelts because it reminds them of being slaves, even though we've got a study by at least two federal agencies saying that 80% of African-American children are found to be improperly restrained and that they are 50% less likely to be wearing a seatbelt. So, you know, whatever, man. The only reason why I've got this guy on Mike, is because they're offering money to churches to do the education, and I'm talking to Joyful Union Congregation. I don't want to hear this guy preaching at me, though. You know, this cat's laying the Bible on me. All I'm saying is you got to talk to these folks about putting a kid in a safety belt. 1-800-44. So in other words, what did he just say to me? He said black folks don't wear seatbelts because it reminds them of being enslaved. Is that what he said? 1-800-449. It reminds them of 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. Okay, Reverend Pastor Renick?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're talking about black African-American children being 50% less likely to be using a seatbelt.
Phil, let me make a point, if I could.
Hold on, I got to reset what we're talking about here. So they're 50% less likely to be using a seatbelt. Hold the line here. Did you get line one? Okay. I don't know what I'm doing here. You got me confused. You're saying that black people don't want to use seatbelts because it feels restraining?
Phil, you are not African-American. You're a fair man, but you are not a black man. And I always like to say there's a fair man, but you're not a black man. And the man that I want to speak to sometimes has got to be a fair man, but also a black man. You're a fair man, but you're not black. So you don't know how it feels when you sit down in a car and put a seatbelt on, and suddenly you feel sweat start to beat up on your face, and you begin to feel your bowels tighten. You begin to feel your throat tighten. You know.
Well, what about the kids?
I believe they've got the same reaction. They've got that visceral reaction. I'm not going to put my children through hell.
Otherwise, it's trust God.
Trust God. That's what we've always believed. This feeling is inborn. When a seatbelt is on, it comes on you like the flu. Comes on me like a bad flu bug.
Well, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Ken. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I'm a black male, and there's a lot I could say to this gentleman, but more than anything, I'm an educated person. I have black kids, too. I go to a church. I'm a strong Christian man.
God bless you.
And we just had a young man, 15 years old, literally. Check the news here in Saginaw. 15 years old. It wasn't buckled in. Black. And he went through the steering wheel. My wife is a physician here at Covenant, and she was a part of the team treating this man. And because he didn't have a seatbelt on, this teenager, he and his cousin died. This guy
well, you
is
know,
uneducated.
Wait a minute.
He's selfish. He's self-serving, and he does not speak for the black community.
I would like to say one thing. First of all, how can you go through?
I want to rebut everything that you said because you are committing a more heinous crime upon the black race.
Let me ask you something. They want to give me federal money.
I want to
get the money up front.
Listen, I have a 10-year-old son and a 6-year-old girl, and the first thing I do is buckle them in because I love them.
Why would you do that to them?
Wisdom comes from God, and wisdom is that you buckle your kids in.
Why would you do that?
You are an uneducated idiot.
Why would you put your children...
I give him the honor of calling him Reverend because he is doing the black community a greater disservice by going on the radio and suggesting what he suggested.
Phil, you have got to let me respond to this man. He's insulted me. He has insulted my calling.
Because you're insulting the black race.
You have insulted my church. Sir,
you are not. I would not give you the honor of calling you Reverend.
I'll tell you this.
Listen, my bowels do not tighten. I do not beat up in sweat when I buckle myself in. I feel very protected when I buckle myself in.
And you find that funny? You think that's funny?
And listen,
you think slavery is funny?
And I am a Christian man. And why are you going to take money? Why are you going to take money if you think that black people don't buckle themselves
that was
in?
That was the question that I had.
I tried to explain that to you, Mr. Henry. I said to you that I believe in the faith healing of the Lord. And I will take any African-American, any black man, any black woman, any black child, and I will try to release their mind. minds from this fear of slavery.
This 15-year-old boy died, sir. So what do you mean trust God?
He didn't put his trust in God.
And his parents are very strong Christians. We know them on a personal basis.
All right, let me ask you something. How do you go through a steering wheel and not a windshield?
The steering wheel basically caved his head, and he died from head trauma.
Well, how big is this guy? Was he driving the car?
He's a 15-year-old kid. He should have been buckled in.
Well, how did his head decide? Was he a midget?
Well, wait a second. What do you mean? Have some respect. The kid died.
Listen, how does his head go to...
And you know what?
Less than 3 feet tall.
Lonnie. And listen to this, sir.
Yeah.
Orchestrator of this show. You call it.
Yes,
you
sir.
Check Saginaw. His
okay.
first name is Lonnie. I would not...
Well, let's not...
Name.
I don't want to go into the particulars out of respect for the family, but you're saying that he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, and that's the operative information we're using here.
Exactly.
Well, that's easy for a white man to say who can put a belt on it. It doesn't matter. But a black man puts on a seatbelt... And suddenly, images begin to come up in his mind.
You're a walking contradiction. If you would take money to try and encourage the black race when you don't think it's a possible thing,
I want the money up front.
You are a self-serving idiot.
Well, you know something? You have insulted me, but I love you. I love you, and I believe Jesus loves you.
Sir,
you put your trust in God.
I'm very disheartened that you would go on the radio and suggest the things that you have to me.
Absolutely.
I've never heard a single black person say what you've said to me.
Let me ask you something. If you believe in God, why do you wear a seatbelt? Don't have an answer for that one, do you?
Because wisdom comes from above, sir, and it is a very wise thing. And the law is, as you know, is put in place by God, under God, magistrates and such.
Well, why don't they have a trust in God? Why do they got seatbelts when you trust God?
Wait a minute. Didn't they say God helps those who help themselves?
That ain't in the Bible. That's some bull crap that some white man made up. That is not in the Bible.
You go head on with someone, sir. Bye-bye, okay?
Thank you, sir, for your call. Yeah, that's a black man there.
Don't tell me. I know that's a black man, all right? I see one coming down the street. I know a black man coming up behind me. Don't tell me that was a black man.
I'm just telling you, that was an African-American listener who...
Oh, African-American now. Not black.
What are you jumping on me for?
Because I think you have put me in a position where you make me look like a fool.
Well, sir, I am asking you about money the federal government is granting to certain churches to educate families as to the importance of putting seatbelts on their children. And you said you'd take that federal money because you think even though black people don't want to wear seatbelts because it reminds them of being enslaved, you might give it a shot if you get the federal money up front.
That's right. I said that. That's right.
Yeah, well, that sounds, as the gentleman said, very, very self-serving. 1-800...
Right now,
hold on, I'm going to get my phone number out and keep my show going here. 1-800-449-8686.
You ignorant white man. You're a good man, and I love you, but you're an ignorant white man. And I'll tell you something, Phil. You have got to understand, when a black man puts on a seatbelt, it's hard for him to hold his butt.
Yeah.
I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to Ethel or Simone on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
At the ignorance of this man.
You know, I'm getting tired of being called
stupid. I have a son, a 3-year-old son. I would not dream of not fastening him in his car seat. I would not dream of getting in the car without fastening myself.
No, a car seat's
that
different.
Is
a car seat's different from a seatbelt.
Excuse me?
Car seat, that's different from a seatbelt.
What's different
That's
about
right.
it?
That's right. I'm in my seatbelt, and my son, you better believe he is in his car seat.
Yeah, but a car seat's not the same as a seatbelt, so he don't have the stark raving fear that black people feel when they put on a seatbelt. He's in a chair.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying that, you know something, Mr. Henry, just back away. Let me talk to this sister. Do you know that your child, when you belt him in, is remembering what it was like coming over on a slave ship?
Let me tell
oh,
you,
man.
This. We were in a car accident just last year,
what?
And the police officer said it was a good thing that my child was fastened in his car seat because we were rear-ended from behind.
Was he white?
Excuse me?
Was the officer white?
What difference does it make?
Well,
I'm talking about the safety of my child.
That
it does not matter the color of the officer.
Well, that sounds like something a white man would say. And you know, it was a white officer took Rosa Parks off that bus.
Okay, hold everything. Okay, you're saying that you'll take federal money.
I'll take it.
What do we forget about Rosa Parks? The only reason I'm talking to you is because the study had to do with black families, black children, and the fact that they may not be wearing seatbelts. Okay.
Look at the white man yelling at me. What do you think of that, Simone? The white man's yelling at me.
I can't deal with this.
All right, okay, all right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
right now.
All right, hold on, Reverend. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. And we're talking with Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation about a study that says that black children are 50% less likely to be wearing a seatbelt, and that 80% of children observed, black children observed at safety checkpoints, were improperly restrained. You believe that black families do not use seatbelts because it reminds them of slavery. Is that it?
After the 15th time, that's what I'm saying. I don't know how many times you want me to answer that question.
Well, I find I'm a little incredulous.
Well, you can be incredulous. You don't have to believe anything I say, Phil. It's not important. What I'm saying to you is my church will accept federal grant money to try and wean black people onto the idea of wearing seatbelts. But it's a hell of a thing. You're asking a lot of a man to get him to wear a seatbelt when all it reminds him of slavery and the slave ship and the Middle Passage.
The Middle Passage.
That's right. That's right. Read it and weep.
Jeez. 1-800-449-8686. Ron, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment about what the Reverend is talking about.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
How are you, brother?
Fine. How you doing?
Very good.
Okay. No disrespect intended, but I don't see how you can get seatbelts, being in a seatbelt in slavery. I don't see how you can get that correlation there.
Well, it started, when I was doing outreach work with alcoholics and drug addicts and everything, my first church was in the Southgate area of Los Angeles, California. And I saw a lot of these people, I put them in a car to put them in a seatbelt just to get them the hell out of it. I mean, excuse my language, I just get them away from me.
Well,
and they would freak out, and I said, well, why? And it said, and it reminds me of slavery.
These are drug addicts and alcoholics.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe these guys had the DTs.
Okay.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm not disputing what you're saying about drug addicts and alcoholics, but I was just riding home with my 10-year-old son, and as soon as he heard your comments, he just burst into laughter because, I mean,
laughter.
He's 10 years old. I'm 41 years old. My daughter is 13. We never think about slavery when we get in a car and put on a seatbelt. We think about safety.
Your son has never thought about
slavery. What does it have to do with just because you're on a restraint? The restraint is for safety, not to keep you from being free, but being safe.
But what about
me? Nothing to do with slavery.
What
about
me?
With shackles?
I can't wear a seatbelt.
All right, I was going to ask you, Reverend. Do you wear a seatbelt?
No, I don't.
Well, that's you're violating the law.
Wait a minute. I heard you say earlier as I was riding home, you do wear a seatbelt.
I do. I wear a seatbelt every time I try to put a seatbelt on, is what I'm trying to say. I feel horror, the terror,
okay,
in my guts.
All right. Well, listen, though.
All right.
You're a reverend. You're a pastor of a church, I'm assuming, right?
Let me ask you a question. You know many white people?
Yeah, I know a lot of them, but
that doesn't
have anything to do with
seatbelts.
Well,
how do you know they haven't rubbed off on you?
Okay, but listen, though. Rubbed off?
What?
Yeah, what are you laughing?
Now listen. What I'm saying is this right here is that you're talking about you'll teach your congregation, you'll teach black people, or you'll try to teach black people how to wear seatbelts without feeling this agony of slavery
give me
and so
some
forth.
Of that federal grant
wait a minute. If you get the money up front,
that's right, up front.
You shouldn't get any money, period, for doing something that you know is right.
Well, the federal grant, they're going to give $12,000.
You and no other church should get any money to teach something as simple as this.
Well, that's really a good point. And the federal government is giving the $12,000 federal grant.
Oh, I see. All of a sudden now, man can't make a living. Is that it?
Make a living? Right. Okay, now bingo. This is what this is all about. It's about you lining your pockets
at
the taxpayers' expense.
Well, look, one hand washes the other, brother. You know that as well as I do.
Come on, man. You take that collar and turn it back around. Because, I mean, you're all out for money.
Look, I know I'm not out for money.
You're a taxpayer.
I love my people, and I love my church.
Well,
a man, look, is there something wrong with a man getting his beak wet?
Why don't you do it because it's the right thing to do, then?
What's that, sir?
Why don't you do it because it's the right thing to do, not because there's money involved?
I want to do it because it's the right thing.
Nothing wrong with making money, but not for something, for a safety.
I'm not necessarily going to do it because some white man tells me how to do it, you see. But I am going to...
Why is it everything got
to
be, you know, color?
It has to do with safety.
I would do it because I believe in the safety for my people. I believe in the safety for my congregation.
If you believe in it so much, then why can't you tell your congregation for free?
Well, there's nothing wrong with me having a little something extra in my envelope. You see what I'm saying?
A little something extra in your envelope.
Yeah, at our expense.
All right. Ron, thank you.
Oh, seriously, you you guys think I'm some kind of a whore? Is that it? Go ahead. I mean, you just about said it.
Look, we didn't even use the word, but it sounds to me like there's some definitely a mercenary interest here.
Mercenary?
Hey, thanks, Phil, for
thank you,
for
sir.
The call.
Thank you.
I've never in my life let any man talk to me that way. Oh.
Well, look, pal. What was that? Excuse yourself.
Excuse me.
Fact is, that's what it is. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Here is, I believe, Janice on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Janice.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
Janice, and
hi.
I heard the program on the way to work.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
To the minister, I am also an ordained minister with the VA. Been with the VA as a chaplain for 16 years.
Lord
I've worked with veterans of all races and denominations, as well as non-denominations. And I think it's appalling to hear my fellow clergy say that we refuse or we resent wearing seatbelts because it reminds us of resurgence of slavery. During Black History Month and many programs that I have to speak at and be a part of, and when we sing the Black National Anthem, I see young and old reading the paper, the music, the words, and not even knowing the words to the Black National Anthem. That's one.
Hold on. I don't even know the words to the Black National Anthem. What are you
How can you say, my friend, if you don't know your history, even contemporary history, how can you keep on having feelings about
slavery? Wait. Your name is Janice.
Yes, sir.
Janice, if you would do me the favor and the honor. I mean, what is the Black National Anthem? The only Black National Anthem I know is "Let's Get It On," you know, Marvin Gaye.
Oh, quit being stupid.
Well, what is she talking about?
Janice, do you have a few lyrics from the Black National Anthem that?
Yes.
Go ahead.
God of the last word, God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, God who has brought us thus far on the way, God who has by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path we pray.
And there's nothing in there about a seatbelt. Nothing in there about a seatbelt. It's all about trusting God. You see what I'm saying, Janice? See, these
this
are the things.
Oh, don't.
Be wise as.
You know. What?
Be wise as serpents.
That's right. We should trust God and leave the driving to Him. Remember the old Greyhound, leave the driving to us?
I don't think they had, Reverend, I don't think they had cars.
Well, all right. You want to be.
No, I'm not trying to be funny, but what I'm saying to you,
right,
with this upcoming generation, that we're leaving, that we are instructing, that we are nurturing.
Well, there's another national anthem.
That is just another sign of almost.
Right.
There's another national anthem that says one nation under God with no seatbelt.
All right, look at Janice. Very good. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. You trying to be a smartass now?
What?
I know what you're doing. They ain't no seatbelt and all this.
I've got 300 people in my congregation. You're the one who put me on your show asking me whether I'm going to tell people about seatbelts. The answer is no, I will not.
And all because you trust God and you don't want to have some. And what was that crack about the kid whose head went into the steering wheel being a midget?
Think about it. His head's about as high as the steering wheel. I figure most guys go through a windshield. And let me tell you something else. When God's calling you home, ain't no windshield going to keep you from getting to Him. Now, that's the truth.
I don't know. You know what, Reverend? I'm gonna take a break right now.
Okay, so you don't want me to talk to
No, I don't want to listen to you anymore. You sound like an idiot, okay?
How dare you?
You sound like an idiot. Okay, 1-800, what?
You want to buy those Mighty Duck tickets?
No, I don't want any Mighty Duck tickets. I said I'd buy some of his season seats off. What is he doing with Mighty Duck tickets? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. One 800 449 8686. Phil Henry Show. $107,096 raised so far from my friend's place with the sale of the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of 2000 CD and vinyl picture disc vinyl. If you'd like to order your very own, the picture disc vinyl is a limited edition signed copy. You'll never have another one, because I'm going to tell you right now, we'll never do another one. This is it. It is picture disc vinyl, and you can pick it up for a song by calling 877-616-7445, 877-616-PHIL. You can also get our Best of the Year 2000 CD with all of the best Phil Henry Show bits on it. 1-877-616-7445. And took the kids to the snow this past couple of days. I wanted to mention that to you because it snowed here in Southern California in the upper elevations. And it has been periodically throughout the winter, but it got down to about 4,000 feet. Which I never could understand that as a kid growing up. Snow levels are at 3,000 feet. I literally thought when I was a kid that if they said snow levels were at 3,000 feet, it was 3,000 feet of snow that had fallen overnight. I didn't understand, you know, and then I got older, and I still don't understand until somebody just drove me there and said, here, we're at 3,000 feet. Do you see the snow? Yes. That's what that means. It's because the mountains around us here in the city get snow. The city doesn't get snow. So California is not the sunny climate that one may imagine. During the winter, it rains. In fact, it rains buckets. It rains hard, and it's rained over the last few days. I lied to you. The other day I said the weather was gorgeous. It has, well, it's right now it's pretty nice, but it was pretty bad a couple of days going there. Anyway, it was snowing, so we went to the snow. They closed Fraser Park. If you go up Interstate 5, there's a place called Fraser Park, and it has some very nice slopes. Well, for some reason it was closed to only residents. I don't know why. And everybody driving up there, we all had the same idea. We wanted to go to Fraser Park. Well, it was closed, so people pulled off on a frontage road on the side of the freeway and just used the hillsides there, which were very nicely dusted and had a lot of, you know, a couple, 3 feet of snow up there. Some of it's private ranch land, but I imagine the ranchers, you know, what are they going to get out? Been out of shape about it? What do you do, chase 300 people off your property? I ought to tell you right now, you people are, get the hell off my property. No, oh, screw you. Some of it had barbed wire. Some of it had barbed wire, and I told Maria, throw it into four-wheel low, and let's get this baby, let's see what this baby can do. It'll take out some barbed wire, I guarantee it. No, but seriously, you know, so we pulled off, we go down the road. Well, it's lined both sides with cars, and it's like, imagine Woodstock. Imagine what it must have been like at Woodstock getting your car out of there, or Altamont. It's muddy. And there's people walking up the road, and there's two lines of cars, and we're in a big, fat SUV. And everybody else is in a big, fat SUV. So there ain't a whole hell of a lot of room. I can't believe we actually got down this road, but we're squeezing it down and squeezing it down. And finally, I told Maria, I said, ah, come on, baby, move it. You can do it. I don't want to. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Suddenly, I hear, and somebody's rearview mirror has just freaking dug a trench in my door. And she's like, there, are you happy? And I'm like, well, back it up. Back it up to where? There's somebody behind me. Well, yeah, you blew it. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not moving till the car, because I kept telling her, move, move, move. Come on, move. The car's gone. I'm not moving. There's not enough room. Yeah, there is. Oh, yeah? My car, man, I bought my wife this SUV 3 years ago. What a wreck. What a wreck, man. We got gouges and scrapes. The back is all scratched up because I backed it into a... No, excuse me, I didn't. She backed it into a brick wall. But I'll take... I'll take responsibility for the door. It's all messed up. And we bought this thing. It was really gorgeous. But you got four kids in it. And, dude, you know, a year later... I don't care how sweet you keep it. I don't care how often you detail it. Four kids, there's like stepped on, like rubbed into the carpeting, stepped on candy bar. And I can't tell you if it's a candy bar or it was a Pop-Tart. I don't know what it is anymore. And then there's like pieces of paper with kid drawings on it and like kid snot. You know, kids pick their nose and they just wipe it anywhere. Like, yeah, the other night I was watching TV, and I just reached my hand back just to kind of stretch out and put your hand on the back of the couch. And I'm feeling like it's like crusty boogers or something on the back of this couch. I go, where are you guys wiping your noses anyway?
I don't know.
You don't know? It's like, Jesus. You go in and you get a tissue paper. You don't wipe. One day I found it, like, wiped on the wall in their room. What is this?
Well, I don't know. He picks his nose. I don't, but he picks his nose and wipes it on the wall. Well, you don't do that anymore. You understand me? Now you guys are going to use the tissue paper. Boom. So anyway, we took him to the snow, and it was really fun. We took the boogie board. But as I'm getting out of the car and we're walking up the snowy slopes, and there's lots of people there, and people are really cool. You know, everybody's saying, well, this is a really good slope here. This part here is rough. And, you know, it's just it's very cool, nice atmosphere. This guy's like, had to come all the way out here, huh? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. He said, well, Fraser Park's closed, so we came down here. You cracked me up. And I'm like, do I know you? I know you. I said, oh, you listen to me on the radio. Yeah, I listen to you every damned, every GDMA, you know, every day. Well, thank you. I'm in love with you. You know, and his wife's there, and she's about, 300 pounds, but very nice. And she's got a bag of some, you know, sandwiches she packed. Is he the guy? Honey, this is the guy I told you about. This is the guy that Daddy listens to every night. There's a little girl there looking scared. It's, you know, and I'm trying to move away as quickly as I can. Well, thank you very much. But I can't get away from because I'm slipping on the ice and falling on my rear end. Listen, you want a sandwich or something, Phil? Oh, no, that's really... Oh, come on, here. We got egg salad. Egg salad with onion. Oh, that's actually my favorite, but I don't... Oh, come on! I really don't want... You don't want to say... I don't want to take food from you because I... You know, I don't know what you people eat, and frankly, I could die of food poisoning. But you don't say that. So, well, okay, well, I'll keep it for later on. Yeah! you know, that was the deal. But it was a nice day. Anyway, you see people like that in public, and I, you know, of all the places, how the hell does this guy know? I'm not on television, and I wasn't talking. He must have been at an appearance or something. How do you recognize a radio guy just seeing his kisser? Because I don't do any TV, and I haven't had my picture in a paper in a long time. And even if I had my picture in a paper, it's totally doesn't look like me. You see me out in public, and the picture you see in the paper is like the picture that I use for the newspaper is Brad Pitt. So how would you know it was me? Phil Hendry, who's heard afternoons on such and such radio station, and I've got a picture there of, like, you know, Gary Oldman or something in Hannibal. Who? Fabio. But it was really awesome. And, of course, I'm so fat and, oh, God, am I fat. But I want you all to know I am on a new workout regime. I'm doing a new diet. And it's going to be fine. No, seriously, man, I'm getting on the bike now. I'm doing 40 minutes a day on the bike. It's going to be beautiful. But, God, am I fat and out of shape. I'm going up the hill. I couldn't breathe. So I took the boogie board down exactly once, like a jerk. I'm laying on this thing like a luge. You know, I'm going down the hill. Yes, Melissa, thank you. I did stop at McDonald's yesterday for lunch. And you had to let everybody know, didn't you? I'm saying I'm on a diet and all this. Melissa goes, who stopped at McDonald's for lunch yesterday? It was me. It was me. How do you know I stopped? Oh, I had the cup. I forgot. I brought in my McDonald's cup with the, well, they give you the burglar meal. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.